When you have to pitch to 50 people that you're great at something or you're interested in something, and it's not true, you realize that super quick.
Okay, everyone, welcome to a new episode of the Digital Nomads Daily podcast. Today, we're going to talk with someone that I have met this year, thankfully through LinkedIn. We have been hanging out a lot, and today it's finally recording day. Kenneth, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. This is fun. And it's been fun getting to know you through kind of various channels, through the podcast and through LinkedIn, of course.
Yeah, I'm so happy you're here. And it's really funny because we're chatting a lot and, you know, we're like LinkedIn friends and maybe I want to come to Malaga. You know, it's like, it's so cool. But I'm so happy that you're here on the podcast because from my conversations with you, you have so many valuable things to say. We probably need like a whole podcast for that. But today we're going to try to squeeze it into 30 minutes. Just to be kind to our guests. So before we go into all the valuable things that you have to share, I have a couple of quick questions. And my first question is, how long have you been nomading?
Okay, that's an awesome question and easy to answer because I think it's 0 days, right? I am not a digital nomad, but I am very much a remote worker. I moved to Malaga. I used to live in Stockholm, but moved to Malaga about a year and a half ago. So Southern Spain is now my home.
Cool. And just to touch on that for our listeners, you might be like, wow, well, why is Kenan on this podcast if he's not a digital nomad? One of the things that I have been trying to prove is that there's so many ways of living this lifestyle. And for sometimes it means that people are completely fully nomading. Sometimes people are part-time nomading. And sometimes people just enjoy living abroad. So maybe you're kind of a slow-mad. Perhaps you need to like travel for work this year and then you're working online, or then maybe you're nomading. Like, there's no like set in stone definition. For me, it's also important to have, remote work advocates on the Digital Nomads Daily podcast. So just to...
And I think I agree. And I think that's so important. I've lived in 8 countries by now, with an actual address in 8 countries. So I love the experience of getting to know a new culture. But I think even from a slow matting perspective, I'm way, way, way much slower than that now. Prior to this, I've been in Stockholm for like 16 years.
Yeah.
But now it's Spain and it's Spain for the foreseeable future.
Cool. So you're talking right now from Spain and you're in Malaga, right?
Exactly. Sunny Malaga.
Nice. Today, we're going to talk about how you approach finding a remote job. And I always ask this question, how do you sustain your lifestyle? So maybe you can talk a little bit about your career so far to kind of introduce what we're going to talk about.
Sure. You'll get the super, super quick version of my career. Ex-management consultant, did that for 7 years, and then realized there's more to life than slides. So I bought a one-way ticket to New York and saying, I don't really want to consult anymore. I want to do startups. So I founded a startup. I've ran a couple of startups. I've invested in startups for about another 7 years. So I usually say 7 years as a consultant, 7 years in startup land. And then I went off to Google. I got to do both for a couple of years. First leading the relationship with Spotify, which was super fun. And then head of startup for the Nordics and Netherlands. Cool. So again, kind of bringing in that startup experience into big company life at Google.
Nice. And then you left Google and then you're...
Yes, the pandemic hit. Pandemic hit and Google was the first to close down their offices, last to open. And during that, they said, you can go work wherever you want. We don't care. So I did. I went to Malaga first 3 months and then 4 months and realized life is better in flip-flops. At some point, Google wanted us all to come back, right? And I didn't want to go back. So I respectfully said, well, I'm staying in Malaga. And that's why I'm here. So to your questions of how do I support myself, I guess I'm just grateful to that Google salary that filled up my bank account. So I'm living off savings. And burning it off way faster than I'd like to see. But in the process, and that's what we're going to talk about today, in the process of figuring out what I want to be next time I grow up.
Yeah. I love that you touched the savings thing. So on the podcast, we have many people who are either switching careers, going after like new careers, right? Like new work, starting businesses. And one of the things that we often say is that have financial stability when you're gonna, you know, have a big transformation like that. So that means that you either have an income stream or enough savings to sustain yourself, because the lifestyle itself is overwhelming. Switching one, like when one of your pillars is kind of like shaking, that's overwhelming. And pillars could be your relationship, could be your finances, your job. Like, so it's good to have, whenever you're going to go into a transition, to at least financially secure yourself, to have less stress. And that means not for a month, but you kind of need to, you know, think about the long term.
Yeah. So, and I'm obviously very, very grateful for having that opportunity. Realize that not everybody does. Google is known to pay very well. And I've been able to save a lot of money. But I mean, that runs out. I think of it as a runway, just like you would in a startup. Like, how many months of money do I have left for my current strategy? And as we're getting closer to the end of that, I might have to change my strategy.
Yeah, I think it sounds very sexy, like, oh, I'm going to go after my dream job, or, oh, like, just do this and you'll find your dream job. But, you know, and this is something that you have experienced firsthand. But I just want to say, excuse me to my audience, my cat is so talkative today. So if you hear like a meow on the background, it's King Chai. He's part of my life. So he's really loud.
Is your cat's name King Chai?
Yeah, well, actually, his name is Chai, and then I called him King Chai because he's such a king, and Kaiser is my last name, so it's like King and Kaiser. I think we're just a great team, yeah.
I love it. that's part of this life. That's part of this life, like having kids and dogs and cats and everything around that. I think that's one of the great benefits.
Yeah, yeah. And it's great to travel with a cat. Like, I absolutely love it. It's challenging, but it's cool. Like, you're always home with him. Like, it's nice. So you have experience with finding a remote job, as in, how are you going to do that? You have a very nice approach that really inspired me as well. But then you also have this experience of, okay, I have a strategy. I have more or less this many months to do it. And then you kind of slowly start, you know, getting closer to that date. And that can be very stressful. But what I really like about your approach is that you were so conscious of your remote job search. And that's what we're going to talk about in this episode, because whether you're looking for a remote job, whether you're looking for a new like business venture, or you just need some sort of clarity around something in your life, I think that your approach is very helpful to gain some clarity and to get some guidance into what potential next steps can be. So you use Ikigai, and can you like introduce what your approach is? And also, like, from the beginning, like, how did you come up with it? Like, why did you do it the way you did it?
Sure. A bunch of great questions in that. Like I explained, I moved on to Spain. I actually took a job in Spain that I didn't like and left that job, and then decided I was going to be retired for a while, just enjoy life in Spain. And I did, with the plan of, after summer, starting to figure out what I wanted to do again. During that period, I also went through a break with my girlfriend. So at the time, I was feeling very lost. I was in a new country. I didn't really know the language. I'm working on it. I didn't have a job. I didn't have a girlfriend. A lot of things were very much up in the air. So I felt I needed a process to ground me. I needed help from others, from the community, to get inspired and set my compass straight. So I used this tool called Ikigai, which I've used before, and I'll talk about that as well. But Ikigai is Japanese, and it means reason to be, or purpose of life. And it's a very simple tool that's relatively complex to do. But think of it as a Venn diagram, four overlapping circles. And when all of those circles match, overlap in the middle, that's what you're supposed to be doing. And I think it's a beautiful framework. The first circle is, what are you passionate about? What are the things that get you out of bed in the morning, the first thing you Google when you wake up? And for me, that's technology. It's people. The next circle is, what are you good at? What are your skills? It could be hard skills, it could be soft skills, and not just your own perspective. What would other people say that you're good at? So you go through that, you make your list. The third circle on the other side is, and this was hard for me, the third circle is, what does the world need? And I was lost at the time. I had no idea what the world needed. I didn't know what I needed.
Yeah.
So I had to change and simplify that question a little. So instead, I wrote what problems excite me. Mm-hmm. Where do I want to contribute my time? What kind of gets me going? And the fourth circle is what can you get paid for? Or what roles can you excel in? So the way I've done this before, usually I'll do this exercise around New Year's. It's been a ritual for me the last 7 or 8 years to reflect upon the year that's been. I would take a day and reflect, write down, journal, think about all the things I've learned. What did I enjoy? What did I not enjoy? Mm-hmm. And then after New Year's, I would take another day to plan the year ahead. So I've been doing this for quite a while now. So normally I do this when it's cold in the winter. Well, for me, it's cold in winter. I guess you have the opposite. But now I had the opportunity to do it in the middle of the summer. So that was nice. But I didn't know what to put this time. Usually there's not a lot of change. Like you change a little over a year. Mm-hmm. I think about it as recalibrating your compass, but it's still kind of the same direction.
Yeah, you're like this small time, adjustments. Yeah.
Exactly. This time I really didn't know. So I threw some spaghetti on the wall. I did my very best. I took inspiration from previous ones and I wrote what I thought was true. Mm-hmm. But it didn't feel true. Didn't feel authentic. So the second part of my plan was, okay, now that I have an ikigai, and I think it's important to do that homework first. Right? You got to figure out yourself. You got to do some deep thinking to understand who you are and what you want. Mm-hmm. But you might not be able to take it the entire way. So the second step for me was 50 virtual coffees.
50,
so
right? I
went on LinkedIn with this and I said, okay, I'm going to do 50 virtual coffees over a period. I think it was 5 weeks. And I made a list of people that I wanted to talk to. And some of those were friends. Some of them were previous colleagues. Other were people I've seen on LinkedIn. And as I went through the process, the list actually grew. It's been much more than 50 by now. But I did focus on the original 50. And I invited them to come just chat with me for two reasons. One, I wanted to hear about their inspirational journey. What have you done in your life? Why are you doing what you're doing? Why is that so exciting? What do you see in the future? Mm-hmm. And that's cool. When you hear 50 stories, you start seeing some patterns and you start getting excited about certain things. And you realize this other thing over here that everybody's like, that's not for me. Mm-hmm. But it's a very fun way to learn from lots of people. And the other thing that surprised me that I wasn't expecting is I had my ikigai and I brought it in and I presented it and I got very good at presenting it very fast. When you have to pitch to 50 people that you're great at something or you're interested in something and it's not true, you realize that super quick.
Yeah.
It's like one of the things I said, I'm passionate about fintech. I want to solve fintech. And maybe a previous version of me in a previous life in another universe likes fintech, but I truly don't. and when I say that time over, I'm like, no, that's not me. That's not authentic. Yeah.
And that's also one of the things that we talked about when we met. Like, it really intrigued me because I feel like, and this relates to a lot of digital nomads in the space, there is such a strong sense of entrepreneurship and you need to do this and you need to do that. And otherwise you're not. Like, it's just so strong. And I feel like that being true to yourself, being your authentic self, that is a very, very long process. And it helps to learn from other people, like here on the podcast, how do others do that, just to give you some inspiration. And yeah, for Kenneth, yeah, it's 50 virtual coffee. Someone else goes on a retreat for a week. Like, everyone has their own approach, but this was an approach that I haven't heard of. And I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. I would love to do an episode with you about this, because it's reflective to like either say it out loud and also see how other people are responding to it. Like, maybe people sense that, are you really that like passionate about it? Like, you get like responses, and that is a mirror almost for yourself. So what happened after?
I think during, we'll start with during before we go mm-hmm. to after. You get this opportunity to reflect. And as you're learning and listening to what others are saying and mirror, you're talking about how they hold it up, I would improve my ikigai. Between each one of these coffees, I would update it and make it a little better, mm-hmm. a little tighter. I would remove fintech and all the other things that wasn't true. And then I would massage some of them. I would group them, maybe move things around a little until
it started to feel right. It felt authentic. It felt like, okay, there's nothing more to change. I presented a couple of times after each other and it felt good. There weren't any feedback, any comments. Mm-hmm. And that was just after about 20 coffees. At that point, it's like, I still have 30 to go, but I'm done. I know who I am. I know what I want. So I had to change my strategy. Mm-hmm. And really what I wanted and what I've noticed is through all of these conversations, people would be talking about working from home or working while traveling or remote work or hybrid work, all these new terms that I knew nothing about. Mm-hmm. And I was living abroad, so I was living this, but I still hadn't really reflected about it as a concept. Mm-hmm. And I noticed whenever people talked about this, it excited me. It's like, this is something I want to explore. And I started researching it and Googling it. And I found networks here on LinkedIn. And I was like, yeah, that's it. After about 20 coffees, I realized that's where I want to dedicate my time, at least for now. So I want to find some way to contribute to the future of work, to hybrid, to remote. Mm-hmm. And then I said, okay, I know myself. Let's change the strategy a little at this point and dedicate the next 30 coffees to becoming an expert, to becoming as good as possible at this topic. So I did a couple of things. I said, I'm going to start a podcast, The Future is Remote, where I will interview the thought leaders, the thinkers, the doers, people who are building remote companies, people who are enabling remote companies, people who are thinking about remote companies. Mm-hmm. I want to learn from them. Because nobody can be an expert in 6 weeks, right? I gave myself 6 weeks. And that's just not enough time. But you can learn from other experts. Mm-hmm. So I did. I started this podcast. I interviewed them. I took all of their knowledge and I shared that back to the world and back to the community. And I had so much fun doing it. So I'm building up my personal brand, my expertise. I'm building my network and I'm learning and I'm becoming much better at it in this topic. So that was step two, really. Okay, first getting to know myself, doing all the coffees, then becoming an expert. And then step three was, how can I turn that into a job? Mm-hmm. Now that I have this expertise, I have this network with all these people I know, how can I translate that into kind of my dream job? And that's where I'm at now. So now I'm in that process where I'm trying a couple of different strategies. I put some videos out there that's gotten lots of fun responses. I still haven't found the perfect thing, mm-hmm. But I feel like I'm getting much, much closer.
Yeah.
So.
And during your process, so aside from like the Ikigai framework, so to say, you were also very active on LinkedIn. And I'm like a huge, like, aside from like remote work and digital nomad advocate, I'm like, I love LinkedIn. Like, you know, it's like when you play that game on like who you're going to marry, kill, and have sex with. Like, I want to marry LinkedIn. I would probably want to have sex with Instagram. I would probably kill Facebook or something. Like, like, it's just like, for me, LinkedIn is just like one of the greatest finds that I had this year, because you meet amazing, inspiring people like you, Kenneth. And if it wasn't for that, we might have not been sitting here recording this podcast. So thank you. And thank you, LinkedIn, for enabling that. But LinkedIn was important for you. Can you talk a little bit more about building your personal brand, going strong on LinkedIn and podcasts? Like, how did you design all of that for yourself?
I also very much appreciate LinkedIn and the community that I've found there. So just to start with that, I think there's like a bubble of 4,000 people who talk about the same things and we all know each other by now. And you're one of my favorite people of that bubble.
Yes.
So I think it's been a great tool. So how did I use it? I think I used it initially to find the people I wanted to have on the podcast. That was the first one. And the second one was building my own profile. And I just Googled and did my research and how do you build a brand on LinkedIn? And it's the typical guidelines, right? Post something every day. Make sure you tag people. Make sure you interact with other people. But that was almost a little too mechanical for me. So I've mm-hmm. done that as part of what you're supposed to do and to execute on the strategy. But I think as I start kind of landing that dream job and transition a little more into a regular day-to-day life, I will use it less.
Yeah. I'm really appreciated about that. You're just so honest about it, because It's true. And in that sense, like, yes, I love LinkedIn, but it's just like any other social media channel, or it's so distractive. Aside from the Ikigai, the podcast, building your brand on LinkedIn, like, what are other things that you did to getting closer to finding your dream job, remote job? That's important.
So I think probably two more things. And one is slightly related, because I went into video and I love video now, and I'll talk about that. And the other one is just to continue networking in the real world. So I think that was a big insight for me, that to get to the people that I really wanted to talk to, I had to get offline and find them through more traditional channels. But I said, I talk a little about the videos, because the videos were fun. And I think I learned a lot from these videos. I did two videos because I decided I want to work with remote. And I decided there's two types of roles. I could be head of remote at a fast growing scale up company that's taken investment, that is really trying to figure out how do we succeed in a remote world. That's dream job number one. Dream job number two would be, okay, if I'm not head of remote in a startup, I want to work for a company that's enabling remote for everybody. And my four favorites are Deel, Oyster, Remote, and Omnipresent. Employees of records that make it possible to hire people anywhere. So I made a video for each of these categories. The first one was head of remote, where I said, hey, I'm out there, I'm looking. This is what I believe a head of remote should be doing. This is how I believe you succeed as a remote company. Let's talk. And the second video was more, okay, I want to work for one of these four companies, but let's turn recruitment upside down and let's have them apply for me instead of me applying for them. And I encouraged people within these companies to spread that video internally to get to the right stakeholders at these companies.
Yeah.
I had a lot of fun doing both of these. But they didn't lead to anything.
Okay.
At least not much. I led to new skills. I probably improved my communication, my storytelling, my marketing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I probably built my brand, but I didn't get to the stakeholders that I wanted to.
Yeah. And that's, I think, especially with content creation, and I think a lot of people can relate to this, you put so much energy, time, heart, sometimes even money into it to just, you know, stand
love,
out.
Sweat of, and tears, right?
Yeah. Like, and people say, yeah, you have to stand out of the crowd, but it's not a guarantee for success. And I think a huge lesson here is, and when we talked about this, when you shared the experience, it's like, yeah, like, you know, you can do all these extra things to find that dream job or your dream clients, but always keep in mind, like, sometimes it's too much because it's hard to get that end result. Like, it's good to run an extra mile, but not always, or not 10 miles, because it's just, you're just exhausting yourself and it's distracting. And I think that's a great lesson for everyone. Like, doesn't matter where you're after, like, try to chill a little bit, but it's important too. Okay. So that didn't lead up to anything. So where are you now in your remote job journey?
So this month, for the month of December, I am consulting for a very fun company out of Stockholm.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a remote company and they enable remote work.
Okay.
And they are growing globally.
Company
name is Bellico.
Okay.
Bellico. And what they do is they empower people wherever they are. And they do that through, it's going to sound boring when I say it like this, I'll pitch it in two different ways. They rent out furniture. You can get subscription-based furniture for your office or for your home office.
Cool.
And when you say it like that, it's like, eh? You think it's cool?
Yeah, because that means that there's so much furniture in the world. Like, we don't need to always buy new stuff. I think it's great.
Awesome. No, I'm loving that argument. It's circular, so it's sustainable. On the supplier side, what they do is, like, the people who make the furniture, the producers, they now get a new business model, right? So instead of having to sell through a supplier, they can now put furniture into circulation and keep making money through the lifespan of that furniture. So it's great for the suppliers and it's great for the planet. But the conversation I'm having with this company is, okay, doing this now, testing it, they're getting to know me, I'm getting to know them. Do I want to continue?
Yeah.
I'm not going to give you the answer to that question yet. That's until the end of the month. We're going to continue feeling each other.
But right now, all I can say is I'm really, really enjoying it, really loving it, having a lot of fun. And then we'll see what the future brings.
Love it. And you know what? Also, you already mentioned a couple of times that you had to adjust your strategy. So I think even though if you have a framework, a way of working, there are steps, I think in that it's still important to be flexible, because sometimes it's just not so static, especially something like a relationship, a job hunt. Like these are very big things. It's not static. So it's important to be flexible in the process as well. And when you're flexible, you're more likely to be open-minded to other opportunities. So I think it's very cool that you're also showing that, yes, I had a framework, I had my steps laid out, but I'm flexible and that's where I am right now.
Yeah. Got to break it. You got to test a couple of things. And I think eventually you'll find what you need.
All right. So you shared your job, your very special approach. I find it very special and inspiring to find your dream remote job. Now, in the beginning of this episode, we said, okay, Kenneth is not like maybe a digital nomad, maybe future, like depending on how your work goes. But
we'll see if you can convince me.
Yeah. But one of the things that you also do, which I really love, is so you are in Malaga. It's a beautiful home you got there, beautiful view, but you're alone in that house. And you had this amazing idea of, you know, because, you know, seeing people in person is important to you as well, to kind of open up your house for like-minded people. And yes, digital nomads also fall under in that category.
Yes, you're welcome. Digital nomads are welcome. So what you're talking about is what I call Malaga Remote House. I'm an extrovert. I love to have people around me. And I love to actually work with people. We don't have to do the same thing, but having other people who work, kind of doing it at the same time, being able to encourage each other. The idea is we'll start the week having a goal-setting exercise for the week. Talk about what are we trying to achieve that week? And we can do daily check-ins to see how are we doing? Are we staying true to what we said? Are we changing our strategies? Mm-hmm. So what I've decided to do is open up my house to anybody, digital nomad worker, who wants to come stay for a week up until a month, not looking for tourists, not looking for people who just want to see Malaga or have like babies rolling around or parties in my pool. But I'm looking for people who want to come and work and do that with me. So they can come, they can rent. And I did promise you to give a special deal to anybody on the show.
Yes.
So if anybody comes after listening to this, you will get half price for the first week. So just let me know. You'll find me on LinkedIn. Just send me a PM and I'll set you up with a special discount. If you want to check out the house, it's on bunking.com. You'll search for Malaga and you'll find it. But it'd be really fun to have someone come and hang out and do some work together.
I love it. I think that's such a great idea. And yeah, I saw all the photos on bunking.com. It's like, it's such a beautiful home. It's comfortable. I feel like Malaga is also like a nice place to be in, especially if it's not like high season summer, like late winter, early spring. Like, how great is that? Like, that's really cool. All right. Well,
fair enough.
What we're going to do is that for everyone who's listening right now, if you go to digitalnomadsdaily.com/podcast, you can find this episode and also the other episodes, but click on the show notes. And there you find all the links to Kenneth's profile, to his podcast as well. I've also been on your podcast, so that's really cool.
And go check that out.
And also then the link to the house in Malaga. Just make sure that if you're going to be interested, if you're going to do it, like, Kenneth is a really, really cool person. So be kind, be gentle, and don't be like, yeah, but Nikita said we can all go here, and then be a dick. Like, we don't do that, right? We're always like kind to each other. So, all right. Okay, so we're at the end of this episode, and I always ask my guests if they have one question for me. Well, you did ask a lot of questions on your podcast.
I asked it already. I was like, when are you coming to Malaga?
Yeah, I'm actually looking at flights to Europe. Like, kid you not. Like, I want to go to Running Remote, which is in April in Lisbon.
In April, right?
Yeah, there is another thing that I want to go, which is in Gran Canaria. And then I was like, maybe I can go to Malaga. like, you know, it's great. And I haven't seen my family in a while, so I'm actually considering it. So yeah, I will let you know.
Yeah, you're most welcome. I would love to have you have you come stay for a while.
Yeah, that would be fun. Definitely. I really want to thank you for coming today. Lots of fun. Always a pleasure having you. And good luck with the rest of the job hunt. I really hope that either you're going to stay in this company or something else comes in your path, but I'm sure it will.
So thank you so much for the conversation today, for all your support throughout my journey. I've really appreciated it.